Well, good morning, everybody, and hope you all had a wonderful weekend. So wanted to put a couple of things on your radar, beginning with the Senate Appropriations Committee tomorrow, Tuesday at 11 a.m. I want to talk to you about Senate Bill 1664 by Senator Trumbull, referring to local option sales taxes. You've heard us report on this a couple of times, but these are your taxes like your tourism development tax, your local half-cent infrastructure tax, your indigent care tax, your hospital surtax. The original bill would have required that all of these taxes be put back in front of the voters every 8 years and would need to be have that done by January 1st, 2033. Good news is last week, Senator Trumbull filed an amendment and it was adopted that would grandfather in current sales tax levies that have an expiration date built into the enacting ordinance. So what that means is that if you have a current sales tax levy and it expires in, say, 2040, then that expiration date will rule. You do not have to take it back before the voters by 2033. Your underlying expiration date is the rule. If you do not have expiration dates, however, within your current sales tax levies, you will have to abide by the January 1st, 2033 deadline. But here's the sweetener to the pot. You can now move forward with an expiration date to whatever denomination of years that you would like moving forward, but you would have to take it to the voters for consideration and hopefully renewal. So Senate Bill 1664 is up tomorrow in Senate Appropriations. If this is concerning to you, please reach out to the Senate Appropriations members and let them know about the importance of these sales taxes to your jurisdiction. Likewise, the House Companion, House Bill 1221, also local option taxes, which has not been amended at this time, is slated to potentially be on the House State Affairs Committee on Tuesday at 1 p.m. as well. As Casey mentioned, we will not know if that bill is up on the agenda until 5 p.m. this afternoon. So please stand by. We are watching very closely for both House Bill 1221 to be on the agenda in State Affairs, but also for amendments that have been promised by the sponsor to, at a minimum, to conform to the Senate Bill 1664. The last bill I want to put on your agenda is the House Commerce Committee at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Again, this will post at 5 p.m. today. House Joint Resolution 1257 and House Bill 1259, which is a property tax exemption on long-term lease properties, may be up in that agenda. This would be a House joint resolution that would go in front of the voters in 2026 and would extend an exemption and a assessment cap similar to homestead properties on rental properties of 6 months or more. The good news here is the Senate bill 1510-1512 was amended last week to limit this exemption and assessment to only one rental property. We expect the House sponsor to move in like kind if this bill is put on the agenda for tomorrow in House Commerce. So please stay tuned for any alerts that we may need you to take action and talk to the House members in the Commerce Committee about this bill. And with that, I'll kick it over to David Cruz.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everybody. I have two bills to talk to you about this morning. First up is CRAs. Lots been going on with the CRA bill, so let me give you a recap. Senate Bill 1242 is scheduled to be heard in the Senate Rules Committee this afternoon. Originally, the bill was filed to prohibit CRAs from existing past the year 2045. It would prohibit any creation of new CRAs, and it would have banned CRAs from initiating new projects or spending any of their dollars on a new project that it was not in this year's budget. Good news to report on that front. An amendment has been filed by Senator McClain that addresses all three of those concerns in a positive manner for cities. So it would remove the sunset date, it would remove the prohibition on creating new CRAs, and it would remove the prohibition on spending on new projects. So what is in the bill if this amendment gets adopted? Here is what would be left. It would require all CRA boards to be composed of city elected officials, but would allow you to have up to two appointed individuals be added onto that CRA board. It would prohibit CRAs from changing their boundaries. You would not be able to make your CRA bigger. You would not be able to make your CRA smaller. It's frozen in time as to how you initially created your CRA. It would prohibit CRA funding for some specific things that the legislators felt were being abused. Specifically, CRAs would not be able to use TIF funding for concerts, festivals, holiday events, parades, hotels, or banquet facilities. So overall, a very positive amendment has been filed that addressed all three of the big concerns that we had been raising. I want to thank all of you for responding to the multiple CRA alerts. Again, that amendment is been filed by Senator McClain, and that's barcode 232314, and that is an amendment that the League of Cities supports. On the House side, House Bill 991 by Representative Gio Lombardo was scheduled to be heard last week. It ended up being postponed and not considered in the House Commerce Committee. The House Commerce Committee is scheduled to meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Casey mentioned earlier that we won't know the agendas for these committees until 5 p.m. today, so we will be waiting to see. It is very likely that we would end up in a scenario here where the House bill and the Senate bill are significantly different, and the House does not take the same approach the Senate is taking with this very friendly amendment to address our concerns. And so please be on the lookout for an alert should the House not move in the same direction as the Senate. Last bill I wanted to bring to your attention very briefly, switching gears, is House Bill 1255 by Representative Trabolsi is an education bill that the League of Cities was not following at all because it only dealt with education issues. However, last week in its final committee stop, a very comprehensive amendment was filed to that bill that included some language that restricts city's ability to regulate zoning for charter schools. Specifically, the bill prohibits local governments from enforcing any building or operational requirements on charter schools. So, for example, no city or county regulation could limit student capacity or hours of operation of a school. Additionally, charter schools would not be able or not be required to get any type of comprehensive plan amendment, a development order, or even a development permit if you don't apply that same restriction on a public school at the same location. And that the bill would also prohibit charter schools from having to obtain any type of special exemption or conditional use approval in order to be deemed an allowable use. Certainly some concerning provisions there. The ask here would be that if you are concerned with these restrictions on charter schools and your ability to regulate them, to reach out to your House member, as this bill is scheduled to be heard on the House special order on the House floor on Wednesday of this week. And so that's House Bill 1255 by Representative Tobolsky. And with that said, I will switch gears and pass it over to Matt Singer.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. I have one bill to update you on that will be heard again this week, and it's Senate Bill 818 relating to utility relocation. I want to begin by thanking y'all for your advocacy last week on this bill. We were able to get an amendment on the bill that significantly improved the realities of what it would mean back home. The amendment, however, didn't end up, for a number of reasons, leading the bill to get a fourth committee reference. And so that bill will be heard in appropriations in the Senate tomorrow at 11 a.m. And again, this is Senate Bill 818 dealing with utility relocation. This bill would shift the costs from the private sector onto the public sector whenever the authority, being the government, is relocating or initiating a road project that causes the utility infrastructure to be relocated. The amendment would have lowered our cost exposure to only 7.5%. of the communication services tax distributions. But we do anticipate another amendment forthcoming on this bill. And so this one I wanted to make sure stayed on your radar. It's Senate Bill 818 and is related to utility relocation. And as a status update, the House Bill 703, only had two committee references, which indicates that it is important to the House, but has not been heard in over 2 weeks. And so that bill, we're hoping to get the same amendments applied to that, but at this point, certainly favor the Senate bill. And so that's the update I have for you on utility relocation. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Rebecca O'Hara.
Good morning, everyone. So this week, we've got a couple of bills up in the Commerce Committee and on the floor of the House. I'm going to start with the ones that are on special order in the House. On Thursday, on the House special order calendar, is House Bill 1523 by Representative Busada, dealing with utility services. This is the Enterprise Fund Transfer Bill, and it will be considered by the full House on Thursday. Just a reminder, the Senate companion bill is never moved in committee, so the House, as we expected from the get-go, will pass the bill out of the House and send it over to the Senate. And the Senate will then consider what to do with it, if anything. On a related note, however, Representative Busada, covering all her bases, filed an amendment to another bill containing portions of her Enterprise Fund Transfer Bill. She has an amendment pending to House Bill 1137 by Representative Schoaf, dealing with utility service restrictions. So her amendment to that bill includes the 10% Enterprise Fund transfer cap and the Public Service Commission study. It does not include any of the surcharge language. So that bill will also be on special order at the same time, and it is likely to be adopted and passed out of the House. So what we need you to do is communicate with your senators about this issue. Tell them do not accept the amendments to House Bill 1137. Do not accept any similar amendments to Senate Bill 1002 by Senator Truenow, and do not accept the underlying bill of 1523. So that's enterprise fund transfers. Also on special order, I'm going to jump to the Commerce Committee and let you know what's going on there. So in the Commerce Committee on Tuesday, we're waiting for the agenda to come out tonight. We are expecting to have two bills on that agenda that we're focused on. The first is affordable housing, House Bill 943 by Representative Lopez. This is the bill that we have been opposed to all session long. We will expect to see an amendment filed to that bill sometime tonight, bringing the bill somewhat closer to the Senate bill, which is Senate Bill 1730. It will not be identical to Senate Bill 1730 because the House and the Senate cannot agree on exactly what issues they want in this bill. Even with the amendment, however, we will most likely remain opposed to House Bill 943. And while we're on the subject of housing, just an update on the Senate bill for affordable housing, which is Senate Bill 1730 by Senator Kalatayu. That bill passed the Senate last week. It is now sent over to the House. This is a bill that the League was pretty neutral on all the way through session up until its passage in the Senate. Minutes before the bill was voted on in the Senate, it was amended to include a really bad amendment in it. The amendment will allow a golf course, a swimming pool, or a tennis court in any zoning district to be developed as a live local project. So with that amendment, we are now opposed to both Senate Bill 1730 and House Bill 943. Also on the agenda for the Commerce Committee, we are expecting to see House Bill 247, relating to housing by Representative Connerly. This is the bill that requires cities and counties to adopt ordinances to allow accessory dwelling units. That bill's companion already passed the Senate, so when it is brought up in the House after its last committee, it is ready for final passage. But first, it has to get through Commerce, which meets tomorrow. And that's all I have for you right now. I'm going to turn it over to Sam Wagner. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca. Good morning, everyone. I've got one bill for you today, Senate Bill 954 and House Bill 1163. This is the Certified Recovery Residences Bill by Senator Gruters and Representative Owen. Late last night, an amendment was filed to the Senate bill, so it moves these bills from an opposition to a monitoring position. The Senate amendment requires each county and city to adopt an ordinance by January 1st of 2026 that will include a process for providing reasonable accommodations and land use regulations to support certified recovery residences. These ordinances must comply with the Federal Fair Housing Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. The ordinance must establish a formal application process, require a written determination within 2 months or 60 days, and allow for an automatic approval if a decision is not made within that 60-day period. Providing that accommodations may be revoked if there are violations or lapses in the certification of a recovery residence if it is not corrected within 180 days. This is the final stop for the bill in the Senate before heading to the floor. The House will release its agenda today at 5 p.m. for the Health and Human Services Committee, and we will know whether or not the House bill will be up in its final stop tomorrow before it would have the potential to go to the floor. That is all I have for you this morning, and we'll kick it back to Mr. Casey Cook.
Thank you, Sam. All right, we will transition to the question and answer portion of the call. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, press *9 on your phone. When recognized, please state your name and the city you're affiliated with. All right, I see we have our first question in the queue. First caller, go ahead.
Thank you very much. This is Cal Rolfson, city council member from Mount Dora. Number one, this regards Senate Bill 1242, the CRA bill that David Cruz has done so well in monitoring and keeping us advised. David, we really appreciate it, all the good work you're doing on that. The amendments, additional amendments seem to be good, except there's one that will be very devastating to Mount Dora, and that's the amendment that prohibiting boundary extensions to CRA boundaries. We've got one pending right now, and we've done studies to validate the propriety of that extension, and it'll be questionable of whether we can do that if this bill passes. My concern is, I'm not sure if that borders ex post facto issues, because we already have a concept going, we've already approved the extensions, and we're just working on a continuation of that. And so, David, is that something that's ex post facto issues, or once we've completed that, before the bill takes effect, if this passes, does that affect us or not? Those are some of the issues that we're really concerned about. Thank you.
Hey, good morning, and really appreciate your advocacy on this issue and your engagement on it. I would say that this would be an issue that you probably need to consult with your city attorney on. I would also advise you and your city attorney to take a look at the effective date of the bill. It's July 1 of 2025. And so if you can't, finish that boundary adjustment by July 1st of this year, you could run into a prohibition on it. But again, I would defer to your city attorney to have to make that call.
Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
All right, next question.
This is Linda Hudson, City of Fort Pierce Mayor, on the 1255 education bill by Trabolsi that was amended. Do we know how Trabolsi feels about that bill? Was that a friendly amendment, or how does that work?
Good morning, Mayor. This is David Cruz. So this was Representative Trabolsi's own amendment, where she substantially rewrote 1255 and essentially incorporated several unrelated education bills into her own bill in a very large strike-all amendment. And so this was bill language that she put forward herself inside of that bill. I would say that the bill was so large, too, as a result, that when she discussed it in committee, she didn't even reference these provisions that were in the amendment and now in the bill dealing with the zoning issues for local governments when she described and explained what the bill did.
Okay, thank you. She's my rep. I just wanted to know how to approach it. Thank you.
Yeah, I would certainly encourage you to reach out to her and connect with her and express your concerns if you have them.
Thank you.
The one thing I would add there, Mayor, is that many times the chairs of the committee will condition certain language being included in amendments as a condition of having the bill on the agenda. That could be one explanation. The other is that House leadership could have said this language is going in the bill, whether you like it or not. Or obviously number three is she was passionate about that particular topic and chose to include it. But I do think a phone call, putting that on her radar and asking her to remove it, you know, is something that could move the needle and give us a chance for success on the issue. Great question. Thank you. All right, next caller.
Okay. Good morning, Jennifer Vizcarra from the Isle of Beach. I have two questions. One, could you explain how this week is likely to play out with the day 50 situation? And two, regarding Senate Bill 954, we found that very alarming. And I understand that one is being heard today. And I'd like to know how we expect the other one. I forget which one is being heard today. I think the Senate bill is being heard today. How we expect the other one to play out.
Sure. So that's a two-parter. And so I'll take the first question. Sam can take the second one. As far as day 50 and how, what does this week look like? The next 2 days will be hectic. These are the last big committee meetings in the Senate. And so if a bill is not on one of those agendas and not already eligible for consideration on the floor, if it doesn't pass out of its last committee or reference today or tomorrow, that bill is transitioning to life support, I would say. There are still ways for it to pass. They could remove references. They could amend it onto other vehicles that are moving. But generally speaking, if a bill has not passed its final committee of reference, by the time that committee stop, it's dead. So the funnel gets narrower after Tuesday. Then for the remainder of the time, there will be, it's solely floor time, and it's prescribed in the rules what they can take up. And so they will transition to more and more floor time as they consider those bills that are still alive in both houses. There will probably, as referenced earlier, be bills that volley back and forth as sponsors in the different bodies negotiate what's acceptable to them. And so really for us, a milestone is getting through tomorrow, and then we know what the universe looks like. It's reading every single amendment that's filed and then reacting quickly if we see amendments impacting cities. So that's just a snapshot of really what the remainder of this week looks like. I'll kick it to Sam for the answer to the second question.
So in reference to 954, we worked with both the sponsors and the chair of the committee, in addition to the parties who are all involved. And this is where we've come up with this amendment that allows us as local government the time to adopt an ordinance for reasonable accommodation. Now, the way that we read this is something that we're already required to do. If a certified recovery residence were to come to you and request that, we believe it is merely an educational issue because most of the residences that exist in the state exist in two counties. So our goal here being is if we can ask local governments to create a reasonable accommodation process that will help be a little bit more speedy for a certified resident seeking an accommodation. That would be our goal with this amendment. We do support the amendment. In reference to the House bill, we do not know yet if the House bill will also adopt this amendment. We will know more roughly around 5 p.m. today.
And what counties
are those? Thank you for that, Jennifer.
The two hot points for these counties are going to be Palm Beach and Broward counties. That's where 73% of recovery residences exist in the state.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, good morning. This is Alan Callback, Mayor, City of Atlantis. I just wanted to understand on 954, if you have an existing ordinance regarding certified recovery housing, I thought I understood your description that was preempted. Is that correct? Hello?
So So is so long as you have a certified, if you have a certified recovery residence ordinance now that falls in line with the that provides a reasonable accommodation in line with the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Federal Fair Housing Act, you should be okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that concludes the question and answer portion of the call. We are entering horse trading season right now. What's on our radar is that this is really when they're going to have to really start moving quickly on budget stuff. We expect budget negotiations to happen over the next 7 days. First, they have to agree on a top line number. Then there will be what they will go into conference where each of the appropriation subcommittees negotiate what items are funded. The things that they can agree on get bumped up to the big appropriations chairs or budget chairs. And then ultimately it's negotiated between the speaker and the Senate president. There is a 72-hour cooling off period for that state budget to allow time to review it. And for them to get out of time, for them to be done on time, that needs to be wrapped up by next Tuesday. So that's something to be watching. And there is typically policy trade-offs for money as part of that process. So we will keep you updated. It's important that you stay close to your devices. We're transitioning into this period of hurry up and wait, and then there's a fire drill when an amendment gets filed. So it's important that you stay close to your phones, that you're educating your members down to the last day of session. If we do that, I think we'll have a successful outcome. We will see you all next Monday, same time, same place. Thank you all for joining us, and we will talk to you later.